All lines are now bridged.
Great, thank you very much, and good morning, everyone, and welcome back to the U.S. CDI Task Force. I'm Mike Berry with ONC, and we're glad that you can join us today. And on behalf of all of us at ONC, thank you to all the Task Force members for your hard work over these past many months. Your contributions and recommendations have helped us immensely. And for your awareness, one of our Task Force co-chairs, Leslie Kelly Hall, will not be joining us for today's Task Force meeting. And she had to step down from the task force to attend to her family. And we sincerely appreciate all of Leslie's hard work and insight. But, of course, we do have another very hardworking and dedicated chair, Stephen Lane, who will kick off our meeting after roll call. So let's get started with roll call. And when I call your name, please indicate that you are with us today. Stephen Lane.
I am here. Good morning.
Ricky Bloomfield.
I'm here. Good morning.
Hans Butendijk. Grace Cordovano.
Good morning.
Jim Jurgis.
Good morning.
Ken Kawamoto.
Morning.
John Kilbourne.
Good morning.
Leslie Leonard. Glenn McDonald. Aaron Meary. Brett Oliver. Mark Savage.
Good morning.
Michelle Schreiber. Abby Sears.
Good morning.
Sasha Termott.
Good morning.
Andrew Truscott. Cheryl Turney. Daniel Greenman.
Good morning.
And Denise Webb.
Present.
Thank you, Denise, and thank you, everyone. And I'll turn it over to our Task Force Chair, Stephen Lane.
Thank you so much, and thank you, everyone, for joining us this morning for what I hope will be our last Task Force meeting before the high-tech presentation on September 9. If we don't get our work done, we're going to have to meet again in a week to do something, but I think timing being what it is, what we do today is going to inform our final recommendations to the high-tech. Past meeting notes have been finalized and I believe all posted to the public web, so you're welcome to review them there. I must say, I personally get a lot out of reading the past meeting notes, so I do recommend them to all of you. We are going to work now on our draft task force recommendations, and let's just dive in. Does anyone else have anything they'd like to share with the group before we get to work? All right. I apologize that there is still a conflict between the LB Connect and my setup here with my camera and all, so you're going to have to listen to me and not watch my gesticulations today. If we can pull up the Google Doc, that would be most appreciated, and start right at the top, and we'll work our way down from there. So you've all had the opportunity to review the Google Doc and make comments. In the interest of time, I have digested the vast majority of those comments and incorporated them, made a number of edits, in the interest of readability, I've just accepted a lot of edits and made edits. I really do invite everybody, especially, you know, over the next maybe 48 hours to really go in and look at the doc and read through it and make sure you're comfortable with the wording. Many of you have done that and have made very specific editorial suggestions, most of which have simply been accepted. So what I've tried to do is winnow us down to the substantive questions so that we could address those together as a group. Again, Al is not here to babysit us, so we need to drive responsibly here and try to get to our destination together. Any luck on bringing up the document? I invite all of you to pull it up in the background so we can just get to work and go through it together while they're bringing that up. So I will just remind you that this is the working draft for the report that we're going to provide. Al is going to also turn this into slides, and then I will be presenting those slides at HITECH the week from Thursday. The document itself, you will note, has a cover page, a table of contents, a background page, which is not very controversial, and additional background information just on where we've been in the past. So again, I don't think there's a lot of substance there to concern ourselves with. I'm going to jump down to the recommendations page. And it's hard to read page numbers on Google Docs. I don't know if anybody has a trick. Oh, no, I see. It's on the side there. So it looks like I'm on page 5 of 13. Mark jumped in with some useful comments, and I'm glad you're here, Dan. I have continued to try to refine the specific ideas in your proposal into our recommendation number 2. And Mark, I think very appropriately points out that the term data shape was a new term to me, a new term, I think, to a lot of people, and it's a little unclear, I think, to the uninitiated reader. And Mark just commented that that it might be helpful to use other words or additional words to clarify what that means, and we've got it in quotes. But beyond that, I don't think we have any further clarification. I don't know if you want to add to that, Mark, based on your observations.
No, just what I put in the comment. I appreciate that someone on this call might have a better sense of what it means, but I also was thinking ahead to what might come up in a high-tech conversation or the broader stakeholders, as I wrote in my comment.
I generally have a sense that data shape means the shape of a distribution, which has nothing really to do with this. So I agree that a different phrase than data shape might be a good idea. Like data shape, you know, is the distribution is skewed, is, you know, by you know, there's different ways that a distribution can be shaped, but that's not what we're talking about.
Well, this is Clem. I kind of thought it evoked what we were talking about. And there's another piece of it. The thing about ISO 11079, I don't think that's helpful. That's a very complicated spec.
This is Dan. I'd be fine with, how about data structure?
I think that's a little more intuitive.
Yeah, I mean, I can explain, and in the document, I use the word shape as an analogy for, like, actually drawing shapes. But outside of that context, it's probably hard to pick up the nuance. So I'd say structure is a good approximation and close enough. So cool with that. The reference to the ISO standard, Clem, is basically just to say, FHIR uses elements the same way that ISO does, not to say that we need to follow, yeah. Like, we're not really proposing per se close adherence or
to 1159,
but it's more like just to add weight to, like, this idea I didn't just make up out of thin air.
Yeah, okay.
So, Clem, I also, when I saw the ISO 11179, I didn't know what to make of it and didn't take the time to go read about it. Do you think it should be taken out as just sort of unnecessary verbiage?
I respect Dan's thinking, but it's, you know, it's 700 pages, and it's not been, industry hasn't widely adopted. That term is okay, so it doesn't matter to me.
Okay. Mark, you also comment about the go ahead. Sorry.
Yes. So I wanted to check. The paragraph there is in terms of FHIR resources, and I know that we've also talked about uses of USCDI data elements beyond FHIR, and I just wanted to make sure that the sort of delimiting language there around a FHIR resource wasn't something that would cause confusion.
We maybe should say HL7 resources then. because it's fire. And but I don't think we want to spend forever on this one subject, though.
No, but we have time to get this clear. I think we're good. So should I say fire or other HL7 resource or data table in a data common data model? And again, I'm on page am I on? I'm on page 5 towards the bottom. Yeah, here it comes. Wonderful. Yeah, thank you. Good. Take us down to page 5 near the bottom.
Mark, just to be clear.
Does HL7 use the word resource in any place other than fire? I don't think so.
It doesn't be used anywhere else.
Yeah, I didn't think so.
No, the equivalent thing is a segment in V2, and I think it's, I don't know what it is in the other one.
In CDA, it's a section or an entry, depending on what level of granularity you should.
Uh-huh.
And in V2, it is one or more segments together if you...
Yeah.
It's not exactly one.
So I think, again, I think more...
But
can you slide down to the bottom of page 5, Katie, if you're displaying?
But fire is the king of the hill. So I don't think it conveys it okay. The industry's adopting fire.
Yeah, and I think it's using the term attribute, not necessarily data element, but it's equivalent.
And when Clem, I think you're right about the increasing prevalence of fire, but there will still be places where, for example, in the SDOH use cases, where fire might not be prevalent.
You're right, and it's going to take a while. So
just to be clear, we're using this as an analogy. I mean, I'm basically, we're saying that we want our ideas and definitions of what a data element is in USCDI to align with the ways in which FHIR delineates attributes, or technically they're called elements, in the resource, in the same way that fields serve that same purpose in a table like in a CDM, or a segment in an HL7 message or an entry template. We're just sort of, I don't think we have to enumerate them, or the point wasn't to bind us to actually any particular structure, but just to draw the parallels between the kinds of structures we're familiar with and we know, and the way that we want to see elements characterized in USCDI.
So maybe ending after the first sentence, it was actually the second sentence that maybe got me off track. The word align in the first sentence might be just enough.
So, Mark, you're suggesting striking the sentence that starts "in this way, data elements are not typically used on their own, but rather assembled."
That's a possibility. I'm not well versed in ISO 11179, so probably my comment was more a question than an assertion.
I mean,
I find that second sentence helpful to me personally as clarification.
Stephen, this is Denise. I have my hand up.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So
I see you now.
So when I read this, I didn't infer, I looked at your comment, Mark, and I didn't infer that we were suggesting that, that all elements in USCDI, had to, be used per the FHIR standards. I read it just as an analogy, I'm not sure who that was describing that. It's, to help us understand the characterization of the term element and data class, data element and data class. So I didn't read into it the way Mark did. I read into it in the way that I think was intended. Just as a fresh pair of eyes, I looked at it and I didn't have that reaction. So, and I'm not terribly deep into the standards and those kind of things. So maybe people who are seeing this as a as like a sort of a mandate on USCDI. I didn't see it that way.
And I think we desperately need it because we've been sort of all over the place. It, you know, has been no anchoring in our thinking about the structures that we've talked about in the USCDI.
So I'm proposing we go ahead and strike that reference to ISO because I think it does just distract people who might not be so versed. And I think that the way we've got this put together now with some of the changes that have been suggested is readable and understandable. Anybody feel differently?
You might need the word of with the notion of element as used in there. There's a word missing there.
Yeah, perfect. Thank you so much. All right, going on. We'll take those. All right, if people have other comments, I'm gonna give you 48 hours to make them offline in the document, okay? Going down, thank you so much, Katie et al, for getting us. It takes down to recommendation 3. So Al provided a bunch of feedback and I made a number of changes, actually collapsing 2 recommendations into 1 here. And I think this is pretty solid, but Hans, here, let me, if you open up Al's comment, he says, ONC will look to provide example value sets either in the standard document as it does currently in some cases, or in more complex cases in the USCDI reference document or guides, which are updated frequently. Regarding exchange tech specs, in order for a data element to be implemented, the technical specs will have to be, by definition, at a minimum, FHIR-US core and CCDA templates. The specs included in submissions merely offer a suggested source for updates that will be needed in US core and CCDA. I think that, you know, that's helpful background, but I don't think it changes our recommendation. And then Hans, you went on to make a further comment here that you didn't want the inclusion of these examples to suggest that this would be required for certification. And I don't know if that's worth adding. To me, this is sort of one of those goes without saying. We're really just talking about the USCDI, not about certification. But, you know, we could certainly, and I tried to clarify that in the language. The last sentence of the recommendation, value sets should share a common extensible structure with associated technical standards and specify items that would be included within the data class if such data are collected and exchanged.
Yeah, and Stephen, I think it was more not that I would argue not to include them in the ISA or something, but that we want to make sure is that how that is phrased, how examples are referenced on, and particularly from USCDI to the ISA, that it does not immediately imply that the standard referenced in the ISA as an example is interpreted as a requirement, because that's what programs do, like certification, to make at some point in time a particular version that lives in ISA to make that request. So it was more trying to avoid that. And initially, as I read it, that it came a little bit across the way. I just wanted to raise it as a caution in the way we interpret it.
Do you feel that the current wording is acceptable, or do you think we need to add to it?
I think if we add to it that particularly the ISA is a great place, and in the comment that you made in response to mine, where you put in between quotes, if you collect and exchange this data, this is the place in the USCDI that it goes. I think if I hear you correctly, I think that would align very well, is that this standard, if you look at it from an ISA standard perspective that's referenced, this standard covers USCDI data classes, elements X, Y, and Z, so that you clarify, say, it's in the ISA, this is the standard, and this is the part of the USCDI that it supports. That would be very helpful information to have. The moment that you go the other direction from USCDI into ISA, it starts to sound more quickly as a requirement to support that particular standard. So
I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I was just going to say the other thing is I changed the wording here to call these all example value sets.
Yeah.
And that was Al's suggestion.
Yeah, and that helps soften it from what I initially read. And then even the ISA, we provide that backwards link to say that this standard as a recommendation to ONC that in the ISA clarify for each of the standard what part or parts of the USCDI it supports would be very helpful information. Doing the opposite direction, I'd be very careful about.
The other thing
can you
that
make that as a recommendation?
Yeah.
Sorry, this is Matt. I was just gonna say that it sounds like that would be something that you would leave a comment on the ISA for, not USCDI.
I think that would be a great comment, ISA, absolutely. But since there is the discussion here of a relationship between the USCDI and the ISA, this might be a reasonable spot to highlight that perspective as well, because the ISA is referenced in this recommendation. I think, and that's fair and appropriate to reference, but then we might highlight this, that in which direction to read it.
So
you
I come
can make
back
that
to my
as
question.
A recommendation. Oh, sorry, Stephen,
yeah.
I raised
my
hand.
No, I think we're saying the same thing, Denise. I was just going to say, so Hans, I'm trying to get to the final language. So do we need to say more, and if so, where in this?
I don't think we do.
I think at this point in time, I'm comfortable with the latest version of this. I raised it as an initial.
Okay. Anyone object to this? Denise, you feel like this is good for us to bring forward as it stands?
I feel like I can explain this. Yeah, that's fine. I was just saying if Hans wasn't comfortable with it, we could put a general recommendation in the general, along with the other general recommendations we have, since there is a linkage between ISA, as he described, if we're suggesting ISA put that linkage in their documents.
And at Al's suggestion, I added that the value sets could reside in the ISA or the value set authority center or elsewhere. Those were Al's words. I mean, do we want to specifically limit this to the ISA? Would that, I don't know much about the DSAC.
I don't think she should get into that level of detail at all. I mean, a lot of it's going to end up being in the standard.
Mm-hmm.
So this is Matt. If we don't specify it in USCDI, then we would state like CCDA or FHIR and have a specific version of that state like required for certification purposes. And then if we're not specific to it, then it would be you would follow what is in the implementation guides of CCDA and FHIR.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay, but Matt, we're actually talking about something a little different, I believe. We're talking about the example value sets. We're talking about the things that we have now put down in Appendix B. This is all in the same recommendation. So
well,
I want to be clear that these example value set lists aren't going to be in the implementation guide, I don't believe.
Well, actually, I mean, the relevant, so if we, well, my comment on the example value sets is that they're examples of what? We either have to define a universe, and I think it's an example of LOINC codes, and what the FHIR statement says about them is it includes any LOINC code, and these are examples of the ones you could use. But that's not how it's stated now. And if we didn't want to use that, we should, I think, say these are starter sets, because if we don't get something specific, we're never going to get this data moving.
So, again, I do want to realize that this recommendation 3 also now includes the content that's in Appendix B. So we're gonna scroll down there in a minute. So everybody, fully digest what's here in recommendation 3, where we talk about, let me just clarify what's here. The first sub-bullet is the information should be distinct from the details provided by the submitter. And I guess we don't need this. This is now redundant. So I'm gonna suggest we strike that there. That applicable example value sets should evolve over time. That those value sets could reside and right now we say multiple places. And we've now provided example value sets for two specific data elements, clinical tests and SDOH elements, in Appendix B. All right, so those are our four sub-bullets under recommendation three. Now slide down, if you can, to Appendix B, which is now on page 11. And we were provided by CLEM with example clinical tests and associated standards. We were also provided by Mark, and I supplemented them somewhat with example SDOH assessments and associated standards. These are meant to be examples.
Oh, so it's complicated.
And Clem, and Clem, I lost some of my comments when I moved this down to the appendix, unfortunately. But there were a number of these that you included as clinical tests that I thought really were more either procedures or labs or imaging and didn't really belong in this sort of clinical
list. There were a couple imagings, but procedures, there were no things. Procedures and fire are defined as something that invades the body. None of them were procedures. There were a couple imaging ones, and they would be covered by imaging already. And they would
I just thought that maybe they didn't belong here, but I'm not sure we need to get this perfect. Also, the fact that a number of these were pending or submitted and didn't yet have link codes, it seemed to me, again, these are just meant to be examples. So my tendency would be to remove those that, you know, that don't yet have link codes. If you're okay with that.
Yeah, they'll be in a week though. So I don't know whether the timing is important. I mean, the one that's really important is the visual acuity, which was defined in a complicated way in the current version. And we made a simpler and more common way to do it. But that's really an easy test, and it's done widely. So I almost hate to give that one up.
Okay, that's fine. We can, again, it's all just meant to be examples. So I think, and we got plenty of time before version 3 is published. And then Mark, as you saw, I went and looked up the link codes for the various assessments that you had offered. And I saw you appreciated that.
I did have some commentary on some specifics, Stephen, that probably can be handled offline.
Okay. Oh, okay. I got some of the links wrong. All right. That's fine.
May have gotten them right, but I vetted them with my terminology folks. So we'll want to just confirm.
Okay. And then you had that note at the end that assessment screen tools are works in progress and will change over time. That seemed to me unnecessary. Do you mind if we delete that?
Okay.
All right. Dan, I see your
one thought.
Yeah, please.
Which is up above in the text where you just referred to LOINC, you might say LOINC and other, just to help make it clear that we're not just focused on LOINC. I know we've been talking about examples, but that actual language just tends to focus on LOINC, I thought. So LOINC and other would make that clear.
Well, let me kind of push that a little bit. If one opens it up to everything, local codes, we get junk again. So
say standard, LOINC and other codes.
So, Clem,
okay,
I'm thinking
that,
of.
Except that all the ones below, this was meant to be the examples. Example value sets for clinical assessments are provided in Appendix B with associated LOINC codes. So that was why I said that. So none of the codes in Appendix B are other than LOINC.
Correct. And for the ones that I provided, that was because we were focused on assessments. But when you look at some of the other SDOH data elements, there are other SPD-10, Z codes, and SNOMED, DT.
Other agreed to codes so that they have to be agreed to, and that's where we can make sure that they are as standard as possible. I can see Clem's concern that we want to be careful encouraging the use of local codes where we should discourage that. But at the same point in time, it's more than loan. So if you say associated standard loan codes and other agree to...
Well, to clarify, it's really the assessments that might have loan codes. Those other resources in fire, there would be other codes. You know, there's SNOMED or ICD, as you said. So if we're talking about assessments, I don't think it's terribly wrong. But if we try to cover all the SDOH codes, we will be wrong.
Right.
Okay, so again, if you look up at the recommendation 3, just at the top of the screen now, it says, value set should share a common extensible structure with associated technical standards, which in my mind includes the value set, the applicable value set, and specify items that would be included within the data class if such data are collected and exchanged. So I see this as falling under the rubric of technical standards mentioned there. And then sub-bullet 4 says, example value sets for specifically clinical tests and SCOH assessments are provided in Appendix B with associated standard loan codes, which is a true statement. So I don't think we're saying at any point that anything needs to be loink. We say standard data, standard associated technical standards above, and then we say examples with loan codes below. Is that acceptable to folks?
Yes.
Clem, Hans, you're good?
Yeah.
Okay,
yep.
Good.
Steve, you're an amazing craftsman.
I'm just trying.
I know.
Okay. And Denise, up above, I left that word shape in recommendation 2 in quotes just because I think it's helpful. And it also is used in the RTI recommendation or RTI document. So I took it out up above and I just added it as a clarification. So that's why that's
okay. All right. Thanks for explaining that.
All right. I think we've gotten through recommendation 3 and I'd like to keep going. Recommendation 4 is, and if you can just, stick with us here, ONC should prioritize the adoption of USCDI data elements in classes that benefit multiple use cases and stakeholders. Al said, we already do that. You don't need this. And then I realized that we do have this sub-bullet that Mark recommended specifically consider the data required to support a robust API app ecosystem, which is currently constrained by available data. Again, I don't know whether any of this recommendation is really going to really add a ton of value. Al suggests we don't need it. Are people committed to this, Mark, in particular?
I do like it, I think, so I'd keep it.
Okay, I think that's fine. I may, Mark, ask you to write me a short paragraph or sentence or two that I can use when the question arises at high tech. What the heck we're talking about here. That would be really helpful. I'll try to channel you there. Okay, Grace, had a comment. Anything else on 4 from anybody?
This is Ricky. I was just going to emphasize the point that I think this could benefit from examples, and maybe the paragraph that Mark put together can highlight that so that this isn't misinterpreted in any way. So I think it's a relatively general, high-level recommendation right now and may not be specific enough to be actionable.
Really good point, Ricky. Yeah, and perhaps even those examples could go into the document itself.
Thanks, Ricky. And Stephen, I'll include examples too.
Excellent. Thank you.
Great. Thanks.
All right. Grace, you had a comment about 5 and 6, and I'm thinking that your comment may no longer be just right because I've changed some things. Do you remember what you were getting at, consolidating 5 and 6?
I thought that 5 and 6 read, the bolded part read very similarly. I reread, and I thought that maybe they could be collapsed, and it seemed that you shaped it with the bullets as is, but I'm obviously just going to defer to your thoughts.
I mean, 5 is really about high priority use cases, and I broke it out and acknowledged that ONC already identified 3 high priority use cases at our suggestion. In version 2, they identified them as version 3 areas of focus in the health IT standards bulletin. So I therefore took those out of the list below. So that's why I removed health equity and disparities, because it's already identified as a priority. So I don't think we need to re-request that. SDOH was already included, obviously, and I don't think we need to specifically identify that as an additional priority, because it's already up and running. And then pandemic preparedness and response is also really part of public health reporting, investigation, emergency response up above. So I think we've got all those covered. So that's why I struck those from the list below. And then, I think this is a good list. If people, you know, I separated out, for example, patient safety and disaster preparedness, because those are really, really whole different worlds. So people comfortable with the way we've presented this?
Well, I'm not uncomfortable, but I think that the two or three recommendations really sort of overlap. And I think the last one sort of cabbages. You get one big thing and it explodes into a bunch of things. But I think only because I think it'll be harder to get focus on it, but I don't think we have time to change it.
Does anyone feel that any of these suggested future priorities should be removed or expanded upon? If you can scroll up just a little bit so that they can see the whole list at once, that would be really helpful. You can also change your view so you're not seeing the page breaks. On my view, it's called, I don't know what it's called, print layout? I don't know. Anyway, the page break's getting in the way. Yeah, I don't have, yeah, unclick print layout. That'll do it. Unclick print layout on the left. You unclick that. Yeah, there we go. Perfect. Thank you. Okay, so now you can see the whole list. Grace, were you going to say something?
I see what you're saying, that you made changes. So it shouldn't say 5 and 6. It should now be recommendation 4 and 5, because I guess the numbering changed since I looked at it last night.
Okay, there we go. Thank you. Again, I think the multiple use cases was sort of a separate concept, and now we've thrown in the API thing. So I don't know. I don't think there's harm in keeping them separated unless other people want to pile on with Grace.
Okay. I think the general idea here is prioritizing use cases, and it does seem like that they overlap. Could you say one thing that benefits multiple use cases, but that would be inherent in prioritization? So it does feel a little redundant.
Okay, that's a really good point. Yeah, so you're right. We could change Rec 4 into a sub-bullet under what's now Rec 5.
Right. I think that would work well.
Okay. I'll work on that. You don't need to watch me do that. So I'll bring the API stuff down there, and it'll all be about high priority use cases. So I'll just insert a comment to myself that we'll combine.
End of life care has been mentioned a few times. I'm not sure if we want to call that out.
You're right. Now there's another recommendation that's related, where we weigh in on specific data classes, which is currently recommendation 15, where we say, you know, we've got these favorite data classes that include end of life stuff, functional status and disability, cognitive status, pregnancy status, and health insurance information. We could bring that up and collapse it into 5 as well. But 5 is more about high priority use cases as opposed to high priority data elements. But it might make sense to at least juxtapose those two. Actually, I see down below we've got a whole bunch of stuff about high priority data classes and elements. So maybe what we should do is actually move what's now 4 and 5 and put it under our section on high priority data classes and elements. I think that actually makes a lot of sense. So I think that I'll do that. I'll take 4 and 5 and move them down to the high priority data elements section.
Stephen, Mark, just with a thought that sometimes it's easier, though, to understand things in smaller bites.
Yeah. No, I'm not talking about completely collapsing, but just sort of just for organization's sake, just putting them, all those things that have to do with our high priorities. Yeah, Ricky, feel free to comment, please. I welcome that. Okay, I feel good about that. And thank you for that comment. I'm not sure who that was about the end of life stuff. John, okay, yeah, I thought that was your voice. Okay, thank you. All right, I think we can massage all that together in a way that it's going to be better organized, and I will work on that. All right, yes, there's a hand up. Grace?
I just have a general question about high priority and the language that's used throughout the report. I noticed that the COVID-19 pandemic is not specifically referenced here for the time being in the current state that we are living in. Should we be specifically calling out, prioritizing data, classes, and elements that are important to the pandemic? For example, I don't know, vaccination or treatments that may be helpful for patients. I see that disaster preparedness, I think, was the word that's in here instead of pandemic.
Well, disaster preparedness and pandemic response are a little different. I think pandemic response sort of falls under public health reporting, investigation, and emergency response, which is what there were times in which we called out COVID specifically, but I removed it in deference to a more general focus on public health needs. I don't know that I, you know, it was like COVID-19 and, you know, other public health, you know, emergency response. I don't know that that adds a lot of value. I think everyone knows that COVID's happening, right, and that we're dealing with it. And I think that what we're trying to do is make sure that the public health response from the health IT community is extensible, you know, beyond COVID and prepares us for, you know, the next challenge. But if others agree that we should call out COVID specifically, we can stick that back in there. Any thoughts?
I agree that we should encompass the future as well as the current. By the time this all gets done, you know, that's going to be 2 years from now. Well, we hope it'll be over COVID.
Yeah, I think you can leave out COVID, but say something more general like pandemic response, just mm-hmm. to be prepared for disease reporting, for example, and immunization reporting, which I think is an area of weakness right now. But I think that could be encompassed by a higher level concept.
And Ricky, you put in your comments something new that we have not discussed before. So before I consider adding it, I just want to get people to weigh in on it. This notion of reducing duplicative testing with all the benefits that yields. Is that something that anybody would object to us adding as a future priority?
Well, I think it's a good idea, but I don't know how the coding business is going to help that. I mean, I don't know how the work of USCDI could help it. Maybe I'm missing something.
Well, I think it's not coding in particular, but it's data access. And the example that I put here would be, for example, accessing DICOM or imaging data, which is not yet part of USCDI, although we do have radiology
good point.
Notes.
Yes.
And that's sort of ground zero for reducing cost is trying not to, you know, duplicate testing when you can pass the image along. But we don't do that yet today.
That's perfect. I take it back. Yeah.
Is that part of, and I see that the cursor is jumping to value-based care delivery, an interpretation of that by cost and efficiency improvements? I completely agree with the intent that use cases that address efficiency and cost are important to consider as well. We have many different things on the list here. It's going to be hard to prioritize everything as number one. But clearly where we can do that can help.
Yeah, I think it could certainly fit under value-based care. I think it's one aspect of that that can have particular solutions, and so it might be worth calling out separately. As was mentioned earlier, sometimes having a little bit of additional granularity here can be helpful to trigger ideas, since some of these concepts are so high level.
And it's a long list of suggestions for future prioritization. Again, I think we kind of get it in the hopper. And then ONC will do with it as they like. So I've made some suggested changes in response to people's comments. Are we good with those?
Stephen, maybe one suggestion to change the words testing to services to be a little bit more broad than only testing.
Like it.
Yeah, that works.
All right. Good. Now we got the pandemic response in there. Oh, thank you. That's marvelous. All right. On to recommendation, what's now numbered 6. Here, Al continues to point out that he thought this API write access was sort of out of scope. I put it back in scope by saying relevant to USCDI data classes and elements. I don't know if everyone feels comfortable leaving this in.
So this is Matt. I agree with Al that that's out of scope. In order for us to do anything about that, we probably have to update our, put out a regulation for that.
The other thing we could do is we could take it out of this task 3 section and kind of stick it down under additional task force recommendations to ONC, which we, you know, have at the end. That softens it a bit.
This is Mark. We've all heard from you before about this. I think it is a good thing to keep included, and I think it does shape what can be submitted as a data element or not. So
I don't. I don't really know what HITECH is going to think of our additional suggestions that go beyond our task 3 charge. But, you know, I think sticking them at the end so they don't unnecessarily distract from our core message is good. So how about I just move this to the end? Denise, do you think that seems reasonable? You're sort of representing HITECH leadership here.
Yes, I do.
Okay. Yeah, I think we all believe that this is good stuff, so I'll move that one. Okay, what is now listed as, thank you all for that. What's now listed as recommendation 8, ONC should encourage and support the use of FHIR questionnaires to address, and here again I put USCDI data collection gaps, especially patient-generated health data, social determinants health, and data utilized in research. So I sort of collapsed a number of things here in this notion of FHIR questionnaires. Again, a little outside of our scope for, you know, being asked to respond to, you know, put priorities in for version 3. So maybe this one would go to the end as well. Thoughts, especially from Matt?
Yeah, I think that's out of scope for USCDI version 3 specifically. But I
this is Denise. I concur.
It down. Yeah.
Okay.
But we'll if you moved
it
down.
Go down.
Yeah. Okay. Any other thoughts on that recommendation 8? And then recommendation 9. ONC should develop and support a process to review, document, and validate non-certified health IT systems that share USCDI data. Again, I think this was Hans, your suggestion. This ended up being kind of in lieu of a recommendation for a full-on certification program for public health, because that's clearly outside our scope, and it was recommended by the Public Health Data Systems Task Force. This one, again, I think probably belongs at the end as well.
That's fair.
Okay. And the last one, I think, is more specific to USCDI V3, perhaps, which is simply our recommendation that ONC assign and support staff champions to focus on USCDI data needs related to patients, caregivers, and minority use cases. I feel like that's okay up here, if you will.
Should that relate to recommendation 5?
Recommendation 5. Well, what's now recommendation 5 is about prior. Yeah, I mean, yeah, we could throw it in as yet another sub-bullet under recommendation 5. I mean, the recommendation 5 is going to have a lot in there, but prioritize, encourage, and support the advance. Yeah, that would be, I think that could go under 5 as a sub-bullet. Any objection to that? Okay, good idea, Hans. We'll tighten this up a bit. Move to sub-bullet under high priority use cases. All right, good. Great, all right. And then, so this whole first section is simply called general recommendations, okay? And then we have a subsection on data needs related to public health, and then we have the high priority data classes elements section, which will probably be high priority use cases, data classes and elements as we get there. So let's talk through the public health section. There's 3 recommendations that survived in that section. One is ONC should prior. Oh, there's an introductory paragraph that I added, acknowledging the hard work of the Public Health Data Systems Task Force and our understanding of that, the fact that significant infrastructure and resource gaps exist, and that we acknowledge that as the context for our public health specific recommendations. So, if anybody has better wording for that, feel free. So the first one was ONC should prioritize data elements for public health in USCDI now, even though significant infrastructure and interoperability issues currently exist. So this was related to the sub-bullet that says encouragement, submission and adoption of priority data elements for public health should not wait until after resolution of relevant infrastructure and interoperability issues, but rather should proceed simultaneously so that the standardized public health interoperability exchange necessary to respond to public health threats becomes available as soon as possible. This is, I mean, there's a lot of words here. It basically says, you know, don't wait until we fix all the problems before you prioritize public health data elements. I recall all the discussions that got us to this. I don't know that it adds a whole ton of value for us to say it to HITECH and HITECH to say it to ONC, because I think they're doing this anyway. But I'm interested in people's comments.
Well, you know, I think that we're saying a lot. So if we have stuff we think isn't clear or important, it's going to dilute the other things you're trying to say.
This is Mark. I'd say for me that there have been instances of sort of linear thinking that we have to wait for one thing to happen before we move on to the next. So I think it's probably worth saying.
Anybody else want to weigh in on this and its value in our list of recommendations?
Well, again, I think, you know, if we give them a flood of stuff that isn't clear, just because it could maybe have some value, it's going to diminish the overall effect of a lot of stuff, I think. there's only so much they can attend to. This isn't crystal clear what it means to my eyes.
Oh, I agree with Mark's comment about the linear thinking, the sequential thinking, when there's probably a number of things that have to occur in parallel. I think that's what we're really recommending here. I don't know if we have to say it differently.
Okay.
But
all right, then I back off.
Okay, well, you know, keep thinking about that. If people have anything more to add, please throw it in as a comment. What's currently recommendation 12, ONC should assign and support staff champions to focus on USCDI-related needs of public health, registries, and pandemic-related interoperability and standards. Again, I think that we've got these two comments. One has to do with patients, caregivers, and minority use cases, and this one, you know, basically saying you should dedicate staff, assign staff to be the champions. I think that has everything to do with how they approach version 3 and their reasonable comments. So I'm comfortable leaving them in. Anybody feel differently?
Well, again, I think we get a lot of comments. These all these sound somewhat alike. I don't know whether we couldn't focus them down some.
Yeah, what's the difference between this one and the 10th one recommendation?
Yeah, they're just, yeah, we could combine them into one for sure. Would anybody object to that? I think this separate section on public health use cases may just go away, and we may just have a running list. But, okay, let's just talk about 13. So I'm going to put a comment here to combine with.
Yeah, Stephen, I think that is a good idea to combine and consolidate where possible,
okay.
Especially when you're presenting this to the entire HITAC, because you want to avoid kind of that commentary with the committee, because you'll probably get the same feedback.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. What's now labeled as 13, ONC should encourage and support public health and registry organizations, SMEs, and stakeholders to participate in the process, particularly providing comments. Here again, this doesn't really feel to me like it needs to come to the level of a task force recommendation.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, Bryant's not here to speak for himself. I think this came out of our deep dive into public health and the thought that, you know, we needed more engagement, but again, it just, you know, in the light of day here, it feels excessive and almost, you know, almost trivial. It's like ONC is already working on this. Anyone object to dropping this?
Nope.
I concur.
Okay. All right. Okay, and then we've got a couple here that were originally put in this pile on high priority data classes and elements. And these are substantive. One is that we think all notes should be included, and we've talked about this at length. And I worked on this wording pretty hard, so I'm interested in people's comments. Task force suggests that all clinical note types defined in the LOINC document ontology be included in USCDI V3. Very clear statement. The task force particularly recommends the inclusion of operative notes, which are of high value to patients. I'm not sure that second sentence adds anything, since we just said we want them all, but I know, Grace, you had raised that one, or a number of us actually have raised that one, but I don't
you
think
could say especially.
Yeah,
just make
know,
it
I'm
part
not,
of the
I'm
same sentence.
Sure, I'm not sure the word operative notes is in there. I think it's procedure notes or something.
Yeah, procedure notes are in, operative notes are out. That's exactly right,
right
at the moment.
So I think you want to, for clarity, I would leave it in that statement.
The especially approach, Denise, I didn't like because it sort of watered down the first sentence, I thought.
Okay. Yeah. Two distinct.
I thought about it.
Yeah. Two distinct thoughts. Yep. Okay.
And then there's the explanatory bullet below. While a subset of 13 length-defined note types have been identified as part of the CCDA standard, the task force believes it's specifying the inclusion in V3 of any note type that may be used in an HIT system will support the access exchange of use of a larger proportion of VHI. HL7 should be, and this is Hans's comment, I think, HL7 should be encouraged to provide guidance related to the CCDA standard with minimum expectations for vendors regarding how to include additional clinical note types in CDA documents. Tell me if I got that wrong, Hans, and if you still want that in there.
No, I think it still is helpful to recognize that long document ontology is very large, and some of those may fit very well in existing templates and guides, but other ones may need to be adjusted. So I think it's important to aim for, while aiming for the long document ontology, that there needs to be appropriate guidance for a number of those to recognize, what do I use for that, CCD or something else? What is it that helps us do that consistently? So I think it needs to be in there. Also probably will be helpful to put a link in to the LOINC document ontology so others that read this know where it is. So they can look at the entire list and say.
Good idea. Well, these are intended sort of fire at will. I took the VA and Mayo particularly use them widely. So they you have to assume that they're intelligent adults. They pick the right ones.
It's still big. It's more than 13.
Oh, I agree. No. I agree.
Okay,
so I think
that
should be there.
That's a very intuitive URL, Dan.
All right.
Grace, I want to acknowledge the comment you put in last night about clinical decision support systems and whatnot. I tried to respond to that. I don't think it bears further discussion here, but you know, might be useful as someone to put in a comment in the ISA. If no one has anything else to add, I'm going to leave what's currently listed as recommendation 14. Unless Hans, you want to sort of wordsmith that at all to make it clearer.
Maybe a tiny little bit, but not a lot.
Okay. I mean, feel free, you know, next day or two to look at that. Okay. And if no, I hope no one objects that I'm taking your suggestions and trying to sort of make them all consistent and understandable, especially since I'm the one that needs to present them to ITAC. They need to be understandable to me. So, all right. I hope I'm proving my value to you all in my editing capabilities. All right, the next one, recommendation 15, if you can slide down a little bit in the view here, was again prioritize specific data elements. and again, we're going to combine this with in the section on, or we're going to combine the stuff about use cases in the same section. But this is the list that we've called out before, end of life stuff, functional status and disability, which Grace are combined in the ISA. So I put that in there since you pointed out that was missing cognitive pregnancy and health insurance. So I think we'll call those out as we've discussed. Are you good with that, Grace?
Yes.
Wonderful. All right. And then we're down to sort of our additional task force recommendations. And again, I put in this introductory paragraph that we, the task force members, discussed a number of general topics and priorities related to, but not directly bearing on ONC-specific charges to the task force. These recommendations reflect the broad stakeholder representation within the task force membership and the enthusiasm that members have to support nationwide interoperability. So this is sort of separate from what you asked us to do. We also have these additional recommendations. And I think I might take out the two subsections and just, you know, because it's a well, it's going to be a longer list, actually. because we're bringing a few down from above. I think there were actually 4, 6, 8, 9, and 10. So actually, this is going to be a longer section. Hopefully, we're going to have more. I think we're still going to have more recommendations specific to our task than those separate from our task, but it is what it is. Danielle's going to, or Denise is going to help me with this, making this segue from this is what you asked us to do and this is what we did in addition. So these recommendations, we've talked about the ones above, so let's just go through these quickly, make sure there's no further input. Recommendation now numbered 16, develop guidance to support providers, et cetera, and other stakeholders in compliance with the all EHI recommendation. Again, I don't think there have been other task forces that have weighed in on this. So so I think this is, we all understand the value of this. ONC should encourage stakeholders to identify and prioritize data elements that may be difficult to access, exchange, and reuse in the absence of inclusion in USCDI when required by OHI. I don't know if that, I guess that could be a sub-bullet under the first one, just so this list is not too terribly long. Maybe I'll just sub-bullet that one. I think that's reasonable. Okay, and then what is listed now as number 18 would be ONC should promote and support the development of technical implementation guides to reinforce public health use cases. Again, so far afield from our tasks, I'm not sure it still belongs here, with all due respect to our public health colleagues who provided us so much valuable input. So I don't know what people think about this one.
Was that not really included in the task?
Not
the public
specifically.
Health data?
I actually read through that. I mean, they had like 48 recommendations or something.
Right, they had a lot.
Huge number. Yeah, and I missed that HITAC meeting, but I read through that over the weekend, and I didn't see this one there.
Okay. Yeah, there were so many I didn't recall.
Yeah, I also didn't specifically see what's numbered now is 19. If you can slide down in the presentation, that would be helpful. We're down to talk about 18 and 19, Katie or Mike. Anyway, so what's now labeled as 19 is ONC should provide guidance for and encourage the use of read and write APIs in public health interoperability use cases. But here again, kind of far afield from where we've been,
yeah.
But not specifically called out, I believe, in the public health one.
Well, I don't know. I mean, that really is far afield, like you said, from our charge.
I mean, what happened in the public health task force, which I sat on, was that they only had a very limited period of time, and they intentionally narrowed their scope to be very focused. And therefore, I think some of these residual items were left out. Whether there's any value in our task force recommending to HITAC that they recommend this to the national coordinator when we weren't asked to do this, I think it goes back to the earlier comment that of Clem's. If you put in too much, it waters down what you're trying to say. So a part of me is tempted to just drop this whole section.
I agree with you, Stephen. Denise, I think that, you know, that's not going to be the last kick at the can for public health. I mean, they were meeting a deadline, but I think we're going to have further deliberation where these things could be presented in another forum. You know, I mean, wouldn't you think that
that's not the last task force? No, and one of their recommendations was indeed to have Yeah, so I don't think these ideas are going away. I don't think we were asked to present this, and I do think there's a risk that it waters down what we are presenting on USCDI. So does anyone object to us striking these, what's now 18 and 19?
And won't this be captured in our minutes, too? So if they do reestablish the task force, they can those of us who participate in that can resurrect these items.
Indeed.
Well, Steve, the only thing I worry about is, you know, this is their big shot, and then who are we to pull it? That's my only worry.
Yeah, it's true, but...
And we do talk about public health in other spots, though.
Mm-hmm.
And the read and write APIs is something I think that is really a function, not a coding system. And at least it should go down to the bottom with the other one. There was another one about read writing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which we said we were going to move to the end. Yeah, we're going to do that, the whole read write API. I mean, it sounds like there's enough interest in keeping it here, at least for documentation, so we know where these things are. Matt, do you think we're totally off the rails here, or do you think we can get away with this?
I mean, you're not off the rails for the recommendation, but I don't think it belongs in the recommendation for USCDI version 3.
Right. Yeah, this is like our extra credit, you know? Our task force was really hard on USCDI, and we also talked about a bunch of other cool stuff, and we thought you'd want to know.
Yeah, I think that would be fine as long as we introduce these recommendations in that manner, totally separate from our charge in the document, as I think you're planning on or looks like we're doing.
Oh, yeah, because it's not our committee. And, Steve, I kind of lost attention for a minute when you had recommendation 13. What have you decided about that? Set of
recommendation 13 we decided to strike because encourage support public health registry. Yeah, because it just seemed almost trivial. It was really about how ONC interacts with the stakeholder community, and
I got the wrong one then. No, I'm sorry, okay. Not 13. It's the ones that were functional status, cognitive status, 15.
Oh, no, that's all in there. That's all good.
Okay. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, no, we're not losing that.
All right.
I'm going to rearrange it a little bit.
Yeah.
Perfect. Okay. Ricky, did you have something else to say about DICOM imaging?
You want to get something?
I think another comment, or did we capture that?
I had just added a comment to, I think it was 15. My screen's not up at the moment. Around potentially adding that as one of the high priority data types as opposed to categories.
Okay.
And just for some context here, one of the reasons this is coming up now is that the Karen Alliance has been thinking about this as a potential area of focus, similar to what they did for insurance data for consumers, which led to the Karen Blue Button Guide, trying to think about imaging data as something that really no one has worked on an implementation guide for to date, yet there is a need for a variety of reasons. And it's not reflected here. Obviously, it's a longer-term thing, but just adding it to the list so that it comes up in future discussions.
Well, just for clarification, I thought that there was, like in Indianapolis, people can pull images from any hospital, and I thought that was a DICOM spec.
There's no standard-based way for patients to get access to their images from their health system.
No, thank you.
But to be clear, yeah, I mean, similar to the Indianapolis experience, Care Quality has an active group working on image exchange between the image vendors, and they've got an active group working on patient access. So I think that there will be a convergence. To Ricky's point,
yes,
this has not been called out in USCDI, and all of those efforts at Real World Exchange are going to contribute to this making it into USCDI, because, of course, it has to be done between vendors, et cetera, et cetera. So I feel perfectly comfortable adding it to the list in what is now Recommendation 15, if nobody objects. Sort of a late addition, but a good one.
A question there, from a clarification. When we say imaging data, that could encompass the image and the report. And
we already got the report, right, Hans?
Right. Given that, is that here, we probably want to be more clear that it's the image. Otherwise, it might be interpreted as the report by some.
Yeah, that was the reason I used the word DICOM to make it clear it was the image file rather than the report, but we could phrase it in a different way to make that clear.
How about we just call it image data instead of imaging data?
Yeah, I think that would be fine.
All right. Does that work for you, Hans?
Yes, that would or just drop the word data, just DICOM image. Because there is also the DICOM image report or the structured report that's also DICOM.
Yeah, and of course, DICOM files can also be videos and other things, so it's not strictly
right.
images, which is implied as being still images versus moving images.
Yeah.
How about I call it image files?
Yeah, I think that would be more clear than just data. That's less likely to be interpreted as reports.
Okay, got it. All right, it is 8:47. I think we're probably coming up on public comment. I just want to make sure I'm capturing all of the various comments that went in here. So, and Grace, I think you had another comment here. Is it a benefit to recommend highlighting all the newest submissions that have will come through OnDeck for the V3 submission cycle somewhere on the USCDI site or in the appendix? You know, that process is independent of our process. We're establishing, you know, we're making recommendations for how they're going to approach those submissions, but we don't need to, I don't think, restate or point to those submissions. They're just happening independently. Are you okay with that, Grace?
I understand that, but as I went through the different levels and comments, not very clear what has been a new addition or being added, and I thought that would be helpful for others who may be new coming into this. So I don't know where that falls. I was just curious from an on-deck and from a leveling and presentation perspective, what's the best way to present the new submissions as they come in or have come in?
Matt, do you want to comment on that at all?
I'm sorry, I was multitasking. What was the question?
I had a comment about new submissions that come through OnDeck. So now there's submissions that are coming through or have come through for consideration for version 3. The way that things are added and presented on the USCDI website, it's not very clear what's been there for years or what was just added. So I'm curious, is there a way to best flag those, or is there a list that can be presented, or how? I don't know if that falls in our recommendation, but from a task force perspective, it's not easy to navigate and identify what's been recently submitted or how long something's been sitting on the list.
Well, recall,
yes.
Grace, so we have already submitted recommendations that data be added to the website. So that's in our prior recommendations.
Yeah, all we need is a date and be able to sort the grid.
Yeah, no, so definitely that's something that we're looking to do, but there is a date on the website right now. I know Al's been working on making it easier to use, but if all of the data that's already been like recommended should be on there that's prior to the USCDI version 3 recommendations. So if you're leaving a comment to like level up in a sense, then that would be good, but it most likely is already there. If it's not, then you should see the date that is on the submission.
So I think we got that covered. All right, we've gone through a lot. I really thank all of you for going through this process together. Are there any other comments before we go to public comment? We've got a number of members of the public who joined us today. I really do want to encourage you to speak up We love that you're here, but we're sad when you don't talk to us because we're so interested in what the public has to say. So let's go to public comment now, and then we'll close up after that.
All right. Thanks, Stephen. Operator, can we open the line for public comments?
Yes. If you would like to make a comment, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. A confirmation tone will indicate your line is in the queue. You may press star 2 if you would like to remove your line from the queue. And for participants using speaker equipment, it may be necessary to pick up the handset before pressing the star keys. We will pause for a brief moment to poll for comments. There are no comments at this time.
Thank you. All right. So did anyone else have anything else that they wanted to discuss about our draft recommendations in our last 7 minutes here? If not, what I, again, proposed at the beginning and will say again is I'd like task force members to submit any further recommendations about wording or other comments by end of business tomorrow. And I will take those, since I'm out here on the West Coast, and work them through and try to deliver a final version of this to our ONC colleagues by Thursday. I think that gives us plenty of time to get it out with the high-tech materials. Is that right, Mike?
Right.
Perfect. All right. And then... And once we have that finalized, I mean, it's all going to be sitting in the Google Doc until they actually move it into a really pretty Word doc. And then we'll also create companion slides. We will distribute all of that to you all. But I don't think we need to have a meeting on the 7th to discuss those unless somebody feels otherwise.
We'll miss the community.
Well, we could meet and have coffee together. That would be fun. Okay, so I think we have a plan and a timeline and a set of deliverables. Does anybody feel that we should meet again after the high-tech discussion to reflect on how that went? Certainly in all of our prior presentations to high-tech, we had a follow-on meeting after the fact. Each time the message was, they loved what you offered and they accepted it unanimously. And I suspect this one might be a little different because we've got all of these sort of additional recommendations. But if you guys want to have a meeting on, say, the 14th, I'd be fine with that, or the 21st, if you want to just wait and hear a report out, get an email from us on how that went, I'm happy to support that as well. Do people have a preference?
This is Mark. I tend to like that idea of closure to a lot of fabulous work from this task force.
Okay, anyone feel differently? So when you said you liked that idea, was that the idea of meeting or the idea of getting a report out?
Just putting something on the calendar to reflect back, sort of an after party.
ONC, would you support a brief meeting on the 14th to accomplish that task?
Let me just check. Stephen, for just 1 second. Yep. I'm available that day to host or open the meeting for you. So, yeah, if everyone's in agreement, we could definitely schedule something. Just let us know how much time you want.
I think if we scheduled it at 11 o'clock Eastern, which would kindly be 8 o'clock on the West Coast, for a half an hour,
that would fit within the time people have shelled out for this and give us a chance to touch base.
Sure thing.
And Stephen, this is Denise. I apologize, but I won't be available on that day, so I'll let you know in advance that I cannot participate.
Thank you.
Yep.
All right, well, let's plan for that, even in Denise's absence. Denise, you and I obviously have a chance to touch base after High Tech, and I can bring forward any remarks you might have. All right. Thank you all for your robust participation. I hope you have a great day. And again, get me any further thoughts. I will be continuing to sort of massage and edit the document while you're providing input. So I'll try not to step on any of your toes as I'm doing that, but I think we need to parallel process this.
Thank you, Stephen, for all your work.
Thank you, Stephen.
My pleasure. All right. You guys have a great day.
Talk soon. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks.